listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Taya J. I'm joined today by the world's premier performer of the Native American flute, R. Carlos Nakai, accompanied by William Eaton and Will Klipman. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here today.
Great to be here.
Thanks. Our pleasure.
So I'd like to start out, if you don't mind, by having each of you introduce yourselves and just tell our audience a little bit about you.
Well, I'd be happy to start. I'm William Eaton. I play multi-stringed instruments. I started building guitars in 1971, and then by mid-70s, I was making instruments that I designed myself. They're unique, one of a kind. I met RC in the mid-80s, and we got together and started playing some music. And gosh, 35 years later, we just finished a new album called Spiral Rendezvous. So this is kind of full circle for us. I've thoroughly enjoyed my collaboration with R. Carlos and with Will Klipman as well.
I'm Will Klipman. I'm known as a pan-global percussionist. I started playing drums when I was 3 years old. And I'm also a poet and a mask maker and a storyteller and an educator. Started writing poetry when I was six. So I'm just doing what I've always done, basically, hopefully at a higher and higher level. And a big leap to a whole new level was joining with William and RC, who were already a going concern when I came on board. I brought some pots and pans from the kitchen, and they've been very generous in letting me bang around with them for 30 years. I'm happy to have a new album out, our fifth studio recording on Canyon Records. And we're really excited to come to Montrose and play themes and variations from our recorded oeuvre for the folks there.
Yeah, we are looking forward to having you. R. Carlos, how about yourself?
Well, like William was saying, we both started early on in the 80s. I started quite a few years beforehand, having a wall hanger from Cortez. And I tried to figure out what it was all about and have been doing histories of the American Indian flute and whistles and interviewing a lot of the older traditional people before they're all gone about how to use the instrument. Collaborating and working with other Native people, let's say, and Native Americans, which is what you are, and talking about what we have as Americans, what our music is as Native Americans, and all the cultures that we inhabit. So much of my work is either lecturing or performing. And the lecturing is interesting. The performing is good. I'm always looking for new ways to make the expression and have it work with world musicians. So various times I'll go out, get into the world and see what's out there and then say, hey, let's do something. And it's mainly having a good time. Not being serious about what I'm doing, but letting people know that these instruments exist and they have musics and instruments in their own cultures too. So those should be investigated as we move down the road.
Well, gentlemen, let's kick off the show with a song, if you don't mind. What would you like to share with us first?
Well, I would vote for the title cut from our new album, which is called Spiral Rendezvous. It's the first track on the CD.
Excellent.
One of three votes. It's always a dialogue to figure out where we go next in this organization.
RC, does that sound good?
Yeah, that's fine. It won't sound like that in concert, you know,
right?
Because it's all improvisational. So there's no set compositional list. It's just do whatever you do at the moment.
Interesting. Okay.
Thank you.
We just heard Spiral Rendezvous off of William Will and RC's new album by the same name. RC, you were mentioning that it's all improvisation. Will you talk a little bit more about that idea?
Well, it's something that, well, fully trained, let's say, people who work in the Western European discipline cannot do. And it's always been strange to me because when I started, I lost the ability to read and do things with the trumpet and other brass instruments, you know, having gone to university and then trying to keep my studies up while in the military and then having an accident and go, what am I going to do now? Hmm. Well, I found the instruments and rather than reading, I started working with pitch dimensions, let's say, and pitch separation and found that all melodies are four bars long anywhere on the planet. And they're either repeats or you move on to the next phrase. And can I see what you've written down? Oh, we don't write anything down. We just play. Mm-hmm. And you should try it. So I said, oh, yes, improvisation. And I came from that world, too, of being so-called fully trained. And then all of a sudden, I'm supposed to just play. But it turned out to be very easy because I listen to what I'm doing all the time. And improvisation requires that. And then when I joined William, we were playing out in the rocks. And we had never done this before in Phoenix. And here we are on the side of Camelback Mountain. He says, do you have a flute in G minor? I said, yeah, I've got one somewhere around here. Let me do some chords and play some phrasing in G minor and then you follow along. And it turns out we were conversing, which is actually what improvisation is. It's a conversation between two very well-trained musicians who have this and have this going at the same time. So your brain and your hearing are working all the time. And it's very interesting what we come up with. And it's totally at the moment. And in fact, when we get into the concert at the library, you know, it'll be, okay, you start. And William or Will will start. And then we just go from there. So even in that sense, you know, it won't be anything that you'll hear on the recording.
Right. For our listeners who aren't aware, these gentlemen are going to be playing at the Montrose Pavilion and Event Center and Botanical Gardens on August 7th. That's a Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. So it's a show worth coming to. I think a lot of times people go to shows because they're familiar with the songs. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is there's a really unique opportunity to just be fully present and to watch you gentlemen work with each other and listen to each other and play off of each other. And I think that's it's a really unique thing.
Well, from time to time, we invite people to close their eyes and watch the movie that's playing on the inside of their eyelids. And we think of our music as the soundtrack for that movie. And because it's primarily instrumental music, they are free to invent their own storyline. And it's amazing how people interpret the music differently. Almost everyone has a unique story, and that tells me that they are part of the creative process. They are interacting with us. And that's why each of our concerts is a one-of-a-kind experience. It'll never happen again, and it's never happened before. As RC likes to say, it's just for you. So it's very in the moment.
Yeah, I love that. And I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that changes depending on who your audience is as well, right? They kind of influence the journey that you take all together, I would imagine. Does that resonate?
Certainly the audience helps to shape the music and the environment that we're in. We played in some unusual spaces as well, but you know, it's something that's tangible. You feel it as a performer. And I know the listeners feel it as well because they are participating and it's an age old participation. our ancestors from thousands of years ago. This is how music started. So it's a shared experience, and each of us listening is part of that experience.
And what would you say to someone who pushes back on that, someone who says, I have no musical talent, I have no musical knowledge? What would you say to them?
They definitely do have that. Teaching guitar making for 45, 46 years now, to appreciate and understand that everyone has creative aspects within them. And it's really just going there. It's finding that and settling in with it. And people can do that with music. It's just opening the door for them, creating the space for them to be creative and to find that place within themselves.
Yeah, I respond to that kind of statement with the old Zimbabwean saying, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. Hmm. And I think it's even simpler than that. I ask people, is your heart beating? Yeah. Are you breathing? Yeah. Then you can do this. You can do what we're doing. It's just your version of it, not ours, because only we can do what we do and only you can do what you do.
Yeah, nicely said. I'm curious, gentlemen, it seems to me that you are each very much teachers in your own right. And it seems to me that you're very generous with the knowledge that you have, musically, culturally, and otherwise. And I'm curious, and I'm not sure the best way to ask this question, but we're in such a divisive time right now in our country and in the world. And I'm curious about the idea of, well, obviously music plays a big role in that, but the sharing of knowledge. I think sometimes we get so concerned and we safeguard what we know. And it seems to me like you each are very generous in what you have to offer. How would you respond to that?
Well, I know we each have comments about this. You know, when I got into guitar making in 1971, there was kind of a myth that this was secrets held by the masters. You know, these people, you'd go to their, studio or workshop, and if you're able to get in and become an apprentice, you'd learn their secrets. And quickly I learned that the guitar making community, and by the way, the reference here is I helped start a guitar making school in 1975. With my two mentors, John Roberts and Bob Venn, the Roberto Venn School of Luthery. I didn't put my name on it because I deferred to their, they were a generation ahead of me. But to this day, I'm the director of the school, and information is shared freely. So even those first few years, I would get these pamphlets from the Guild of American Luthiers and Association of Stringed Instrument Artisans. And it was all about, if you knew something, you pass it on to everyone else. And it's a wonderful community. And you know, you don't see that with every different aspect of our society. But I think through the arts in general and in the cultural world, it is all about sharing. You know, indigenous storytelling all comes out of that same kind of feeling about, you know, if I have something to give, I will certainly give it freely.
You know, we were born singing. And most of us, in fact, almost all of us living in this country of multicultural peoples are taught how not to express ourselves on a personal level. The Japanese say that the nail that sticks up gets hammered back down. In other words, be like everyone else. But the problem is children will get out in the woods. I have children going by my house all the time in the aspens, and they'll be humming, singing, just exclaiming on things that they're seeing. We all do music. We all, like was mentioned earlier, we all dance. In fact, Fridays or weekends, I'll head to Telluride, Mountain Village, or down to Ridgeway, or over to Montrose at the golf course. And they have bands off the highway, and they play, and we do dance. And it's a lot of fun. Being in the world now and changing as the world changes is quite important. I think that's one of the many problems that we have, is that we've been taught not to move. We've been taught not to express ourselves on a personal level. And that's really sad. And my take on it is that we are all artists, and all we have to do is explore our cultural heritages and we'll find everything we need there. Yeah. You're on, Will.
I think that's a really important and perceptive question. And I am struck by two of your word choices. One is divisive and the other is generosity. And I think divisiveness is kind of a sickness and generosity is the antidote for that. Knowledge is only knowledge when it's communicated. Otherwise, it's just self-gratification. So I think all three of us are natural communicators, and whatever wisdom we may have accumulated on our journeys, we are eager to share. And that's, in a sense, the nature of our performance together. It's a story. Yes, there's music, but it's not a canned performance. It's something that's being created in the moment, and the people who are on the other side of the footlights are an integral part of that conversation. So, and it should have utility in the world too. Your question really speaks to what good does art do in the world? And I think it heals, you know, I think it illustrates our common humanity, and it gives us a couple of hours to put our weapons of separation down and pick up instruments of oneness. So if we're doing that, then I think we're doing something that matters.
Nicely said. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to remind our listeners that R. Carlos Nakai, William Eaton, and Will Klipman will be in Montrose at the Montrose Pavilion and Event Center and Botanical Gardens on Sunday, August 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's this upcoming Sunday. It sounds like an incredibly unique experience to witness you gentlemen play together. And like you say, it'll only happen the way it does that one time. So really encourage our listeners to attend that if you're able. It's a free concert, which is incredible. Free music is such a blessing. Like R. Carlos mentioned, free music is just amazing. We are so grateful to have that. I want to take us out on one last song. What should we end with?
I was thinking this one, Hajona Hideya, which means we walk in beauty. Three of us as artists doing that.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. I really appreciate your candidness and just showing up and sharing what you do. It's really been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Thank you, Taya. Okay. See you guys up in the Aspens.
Yes.